A Thanksgiving Day Sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on November 27, 1986, entitled, Living a Wow. The scripture readings are 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 15. The text for the sermon is 2 Corinthians 9, verses 11 and 12. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
You probably wonder what it is to live a wow. Well, I've never really heard of it before either. But it came to my mind as I was studying this passage and thinking about this service. I believe there is such a thing as living a wow. Living a wow is living with that sense of aha, that sense of always being surprised at the goodness and the mercy of God, at turning a corner and finding some new thing for which to rejoice, some new discovery of grace. To live a wow is to be excited, to live with zest, to live with vitality, to have a kind of life force flowing through one, to live always on the growing edge, to live with ever new possibilities and always new challenges confronting one. To live with a wow is to live with a risk, to live with a sense of adventure, to dare, to live with trust in the promises of God, putting oneself in a position whereby one just might experience a miracle. To live within human possibility is no big deal. For any human being can live within human possibility. All of us can live within the parameters of our own gifts and resources. But to live beyond ourselves, to live beyond our resources, to live beyond our capacities, that is to experience the miracle of God's grace and power. And I believe that God would have us always living beyond ourselves. We place the limits on ourselves. We set the limits to which we can achieve. God doesn't. God can do amazing things through ordinary people who offer themselves up for His service. And I believe that that's what it means to live a wow. When do you say wow? You say wow when you're confronted with something amazing. A 65-yard field goal in the last 3 seconds of the game and your team wins. Wow! That's great. Well, name your own illustration, but every once in a while, we catch ourselves saying, wow! And it's fun to say wow. In the moment that you say wow, you forget all your troubles, forget all your pains, forget all your grumblings. You say, wow, caught up in an amazing moment. God would have us experience more wows in our lives. And He has the capacity to do it for us. And reflecting on this passage that I just read in your hearing, it just struck me that what Paul was describing there was living with a wow. The context, very briefly, is the fact that he's taking an offering. Well, how far from a wow could you get? He is going around the churches, and he's taking up an offering because he wants to go to Jerusalem, to the mother church, and present an offering from the Gentile congregations to say, we really are one, and in this time of your need, we want to participate. We want to share in your sufferings. We love you because we are one in Christ, even though our background is this and yours is that, and we live here and you live there. We want to reach out to you and be a part of your life and minister to you. We want to have a share in your life, and particularly, we want to meet your need because of the love and grace of Jesus Christ that we found. So he's writing to the Corinthian church, and he said, I'm going to come and pick up that offering, and I've already bragged about you. Now don't let me down. Have the gift ready, please. Now that doesn't sound like much of a wow. But that causes Paul to set the context in which Christian giving happens. And it's an amazing paragraph, really. And I think if we get that straight, we'll learn something beyond the simple act of giving. I think we might learn the secret of a buoyant, zestful, vital life. We'll learn what it is to live with a wow. He says here, first of all, that it is God who provides our needs and the possibility of meeting the needs of others. That's clear. We ought to get that principle straight to begin with. It is God who is the source of every good and perfect gift. It is God who gives us enough to meet our needs and enables us to be generous. He says this so very clearly, and we can't miss the point. You will always be rich enough to be generous. He will supply your needs. He says that above. He'll meet your needs out of the vast resources that he has, but you will always be rich enough to be generous. Now that simply says that it is God who triggers the flow that comes to us and moves through us. You really never give anything except that which is given first. And I believe that as Paul was presenting this need to the church, he was reminding those Christian people of something that's absolutely fundamental in life. It is that God is the resource of all good things. Now, that means that to experience that sense of wow, which comes from being able to do some great thing, we simply have to rely on God. There's no big deal about doing what we're able to do. There's no big deal about living within our limits. But the possibility of the wow comes at the time we hear a word like this and say to God, I'm going to try it. How do you experience the possibility of being generous? You begin. You commit yourself. You go out on a limb on the basis of a promise of God. Because it says here, you will always be rich enough to be generous. Now recognizing that he has already said that your needs will be supplied. He will then put you in a position to be generous to the extent that you have a heart to be generous. Again, we live within our narrow little possibilities. But God is able to trigger all kinds of things and make all sorts of things happen to the people who have a heart for it and who will trust him for it. I was reading a story the other day of a painter. He was a young painter, very talented, and he was right on the threshold of a big breakthrough when he had a freak accident, and he was severely injured, and a part of his injury meant that his hands were paralyzed, and when he was on the point of signing the line on the biggest commission he'd ever had, he was unable to fulfill it, and it went down the tubes. And obviously he was disappointed, and he was discouraged, and he wallowed in self-pity. He tried some other things. He got into this and he got into that, and nothing ever happened. Nothing ever came around for him. He was one of those persons that was always looking for that big deal, that thing that would put him over the top. And nothing was coming together. That's just the way life was. You ever been there? Nothing works. Nothing works. And he was despondent, he was discouraged, he was despairing, and I tell you, in that kind of a mental, emotional state, not much is going to happen. Well, the local bazaar chairman called him. This happened in Connecticut. Local congregational church having a bazaar asked him if he would paint a picture for the bazaar that could be offered for sale. 6 months hence, he said yes. Forgot about it. A week before it was due, called him again and said, we haven't gotten that picture. In the meantime, he had again gotten some use of his hands. He was beginning to paint a little bit again, but he had completely forgotten about this. But he, in embarrassment, just said, well, it's not quite finished, but it'll be there soon. And he hadn't even thought about it. And he didn't even know what he was going to paint. And he didn't even know if he was going to be able to paint. And all of a sudden, in saying to that person, yes, I'm working on it, it will be there, it all came clear to him. He said, I'm a fake. I'm a phony. I'm a liar. I'm not living with any kind of integrity. I'm not living with any kind of energy. All of a sudden, his whole life came into focus, and he realized that everything he touched was crumbling away. And in his desperation and his frustration, he just said, God, help me. Sometimes we have to get to that point when all of our ingenuity and all of our cleverness mixed with all of our own despondency and self-disgust leads us nowhere. And then the moment of his frustration when he saw who he was and was sick and tired of it and just pleaded with God to do something, he saw a flash of light. He saw a picture. In fact, Gordon, give me that picture. He saw a picture in his mind, a canvas, a huge canvas, and he began to paint. And he began to paint furiously, without a sketch, without ever making a mark before. And every stroke of the brush was like a brilliant stroke. This, you can't see it, I know, but it's here. I wanted you to know it's here, and you can see it afterwards, is a picture of the head of Christ. And the head of Christ, a very, very beautiful head of Christ, is made up of 1,000 human faces, all colors and kinds and races. And for 15 hours he painted. With every stroke, a stroke of genius. What happened? Was he a different person? Well, I guess he was a different person. But why was he a different person? Did he suddenly open up his imagination? Did the Spirit of God suddenly touch his imagination? Give him an insight? Give him an image? Give him the adrenaline to flow through him so that creativity could come out of his brush? And that picture has received all kinds of critical awards. It's been shown across the country. It is the thing that has made him and made his career. And he's never taken a penny for it because it wasn't his, it was God's. And the point of it is, whether it ever goes down as great art or not, it was the turning point in his life. And the turning point in his life was when he said, God, help me. You see, God's problem is not resources. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the gold in every mine. All he needs is a person who comes to the point of saying, I'm at the end of myself, I'm tired of living within the cramped parameters of human possibility. Here I am, use me and do something with me. That's living with a wow. That man began to live in that moment. You will always be rich enough to be generous. Paul says, because resources are not the problem. It's a life laid out at the disposal of Jesus Christ. And of course, it is that kind of experience then that leads to our giving, that leads to a flood of thanksgiving to God. Paul goes on to say that through our action, such generosity will issue in thanksgiving to God. For as a piece of willing service, this is not only a contribution towards the needs of God's people, more than that, it overflows in a flood of thanksgiving to God. God receives a flood of thanksgiving when people who put themselves at His disposal become the mediums for His grace to flow. Now you know it's Thanksgiving Day, so I suppose we ought to say thanks to God. But thanksgiving cannot be coerced from the human heart. I think so often in the church and in our homes with our children, we make Thanksgiving a kind of an onerous duty. I mean, who of you mothers has not prepared a marvelous meal of spare ribs and spinach only to have your little son come to the table and say, "Ack!" And you, greatly offended in the moment, say, "You ought to be thankful for that. There are millions of starving children all over the world that would love spinach and spare ribs." Sure. You ought to be thankful. Well, I'll tell you, the boy won't be thankful. You can't force Thanksgiving from the human heart. Your daughter comes in, you've been gracious to her, you've said every Friday night the car is yours, now she wants it on Saturday, and it just can't happen, and you say no, and she pouts. And you look at her and you say, "You ought to be thankful there's not another father in all the world who gives his daughter the car every Friday night. You ought to be thankful." Well, she won't be thankful. And that's the way we're built. Thanksgiving can't be coerced. We can't have a day like this and say, "Now, thank we all our God." I mean, we might as well forget it. Thanksgiving is the spontaneous combustion of the soul touched by grace. Thanksgiving is the wow that we can't contain. Thanksgiving is the movement of the innards of our soul in praise to God. And Paul says it goes in two directions. When you do something for somebody that touches their need and they experience it as a grace, they look at you with tears in their eyes and they say, "Thank you." And you experience a wow. And they say, "Thank God." And God experiences a wow. I think the only kick God gets is when we forget ourselves and say, "Wow." Oh, we have to teach our children to say thank you, and we have to discipline and train. We have to teach our children that life is a gift and that we don't go through life always demanding our rights, but that all of life is gift and all is grace. But when we have learned that all is grace, then it is, and only then, that we can really begin to say thank you. Paul experienced a wow as he was thinking about this. Paul was able to turn himself on. He got so excited about what he was saying about giving and thanksgiving and all of that, that at the end of this paragraph he says, "Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift." That's wow. And it's only the wow that pleases God. It's living with a wow that puts zest in the soul and brings praise to God. Then it's fun. Living on the edge. Always extending ourselves beyond our possibilities so that then God can show us the way to do it. He's got a million schemes up his sleeve. He can make a business deal come around. He can give you an idea that can pay off your pledge. He can fix things that'll fall into place. I've heard giving put in rather crass terms whereby you would think that if you would give, God would make you wealthy. And of course, that's all bad. That's wrong motivation. That's using God. It is the genuine response to grace that says, "Wow." I think the most recent wow I heard was from my grandson Derek on Halloween Day when he came over and came into his grandma's kitchen and he saw those great big sugar cookies, so big, thick with orange frosting, with M&Ms for eyes and a nose, and a gummy bear for a mouth. Some smiling, some sad. He squealed. Did you ever hear a child squeal? Squeal. I was up in the loft and I heard his squeal. My eyes filled with tears. The sheer joy of a child. That's what blesses God. And to live that way, that's to live a wow. So let go of the past. Let go of all of your hurts and pains and bruises. Let go of all of the broken things that haven't worked in your life. Cry out to Him and offer yourself to be at His disposal. And as a congregation, let's come forward and bring our gifts, which will cause somebody to say, "Thank you. Thank God. Wow." Come forward and let it be your expression of wow to God.